On today's episode, we talk about Star Wars, It's a Small World, and Disney dogs. This is Three Happy Chappies. Welcome to Three Happy Chappies, the show where we discuss Disney products, parks, and, of course, pixie dust. I'm your host, Caroline Huntoon, and I am joined by my two forceful co-hosts, it's Snappy Serapis, Andrea Levine. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Caroline. May the force be with you.
And also with you. And Gregory Huntoon. Hi, Greg.
That intro was a little forceful, Caroline.
I thought you were going to say it was forced. But I guess
same idea.
If you haven't guessed, our first topic today is Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and I'll start off by saying,
"Hooray, Disney buying Star Wars!"
Yeah, hooray, Disney buying Star Wars! If you haven't seen the movie, it came out on December 18th, 2015. I think this is going to be a pretty spoiler-filled conversation.
I think it has to
so,
be.
So, yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, maybe hold off.
Or skip ahead to approximately
20 minutes
into
this
when we're talking about a boring ride.
When we're talking about something else. So anyway, that's my warning about spoilers. First and foremost, snapshot decisions. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Really quick. Greg?
I liked it.
Andrea?
I loved it.
I also liked it. So generally favorable reviews.
This is going to be a heated debate.
Well, I will say, so, you know, I feel like there's been, just bringing up spoilers, there's been sort of this constant topic of I'm not seeing it until Monday, and don't put spoilers. Like, that's been the constant thing on all of my social media outlets. Yeah. And I'm a little bit like, well, I don't really care when you're seeing it, but I mean, I won't spoil it, but I also don't really care, so please stop.
I'm always tempted to give a spoiler then.
Or I know, like it makes me want to say something.
Well,
like,
well, can
like,
I ask,
well,
when did you guys
you can
see
not
it?
Go
like,
on social media.
How yeah. soon after it came out did you see it?
We saw it the Monday after.
Yeah. Gotcha. So I saw it on Christmas Day, so a week after. Okay. And I said this on Facebook, and I just want to echo it, that I am actually shocked that nobody spoiled it for me. Like, waiting a week is like, you know, spoiler death in the social media world, but I feel like this is material that's so close to people that they really respected, more so than with like Game of Thrones, which has been spoiled for me more than once, or, you know, Breaking Bad or these other things that are.
You could tweet about that when you're watching it,
yeah.
As opposed to this is like,
right,
you're not live tweeting it.
You better not be live tweeting it.
Right. That's
Caroline
right.
will
that's
yell at you.
You human monster.
I think it's partially that like everybody understands that like if it had been spoiled for them, they would have been really pissed about it. So it's like we've
the
all
other
just
thing
come
I'm
to a
say
place of respect.
Is Star Wars is all about world building and it's about visuals. I mean, like, what are you? I mean, I know there's one thing you could have said.
Right. There's one really big
Han Solo
spoiler,
dies.
That's right.
What?
Greg went to the bathroom during that part.
I assume he just went home.
And just took a nap. Chewie was giving
well,
him a
you
nap.
Well, you see the when we still saw the original, the Clone Wars trilogy, as much as it may have pained us at times, you knew what the outcome was going
right.
to be, too.
Right.
You didn't know how it was going to happen. So, you know, spoiler alert, Anakin turned into Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, that happened. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But you still watched anyway.
I would just say that for me, like, even if someone had told me that Han Solo dies in this movie, I don't think it would have spoiled it in, like, the true sense of that word for me. Because, like, the more exciting moments were when, like, you know, Rey and Finn are running
yeah.
to the ship, and he's like, what about that one? And she says, it's garbage. And then eventually it pans over
right.
and you see it's the Millennium Falcon. Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I already knew the Millennium Falcon was in it because it was in the trailer.
Yeah.
But I think, like, that those kind of contextualized fan service moments were not going to be spoiled for me.
Well,
when I think
contextualized fan service moments is a perfect way to phrase that. And what I loved the most about this movie was a lot of things. I say that every time. But what I loved the most was what I also loved about Jurassic World, not to call in a non-Disney movie, which is that there were just so many loving callbacks to the original in a way that wasn't, like, recycling it, but rather making something new out of it. So there were so many like clear winks and clear callbacks, you know, the whole Han Solo fight scene, you know, obviously was like,
I loved when Han Solo was like, I'll do the same thing I always do, talk my way out of it.
Yes.
And she was like, I mean,
really everything was just kind of, it was like on the nose, but in a way that worked, I think. A, because the script was good and actually was just, like, a lot lighter and funnier. A lot more of those like Han Solo-y type quip moments.
I mean,
and also, I
Star
think
Wars itself
really
is funnier and lighter, I think.
What was that?
I mean, I think it's at its best when it's funnier and lighter.
Absolutely. And I think also a big part of why it worked so well is they just really cast it well. I really loved all of the, you know, there was really four main
the new characters, you know, I thought
stars, and
were
I just
quite
loved
compelling
all of them.
With one exception.
Which we'll exception?
Get that in a second.
We'll get there. So favorite moment. Let's start there. Andrew, do you have a favorite moment?
Oh my gosh, a favorite moment.
I know what mine is, so I could go first if that's...
Yeah, you go first. Let me think about it.
So my favorite moment in the movie is when Finn is trying to get BB-8 to tell the location of the secret base to Rey, and he explains to him that he's lying, but he'll help BB-8 and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then BB-8 finally does reveal where the base is of the rebellion/resistance. Let's just call it the rebellion. And Finn gives him a thumbs up, and BB-8 sticks out his little lighter. I just like thought that was so funny and adorable, and like, Finn as a character I thought was so lovely and refreshing.
Yeah,
like, he was a different character than I've seen before, so that was exciting to me.
Yeah.
Gregory, do you have one?
My favorite moment, like when I actually laughed, was when the Star Destroyer was still full of Brits. I just thought that was delightful, and they would just come and talk. Sir, one of our pods has escaped, sir. It's a TIE fighter. And then I also enjoyed, and I've told people this, I could watch an entire movie of them exploring the crashed Star Destroyers and AT-ATs and the ships on Jakku. I thought, like, just exploring, I thought just all the visuals of just them, like, walking by, and there are these huge, massive ships just buried in the sand. I think that was so cool, and I could have watched an entire movie of just them, like, walking around there.
I thought those visuals were quite stunning and exciting.
Yeah, for me, like, the moments that I, like squeed the most were the moments that were, like, obviously there for the audience to squee, which is, like, when you know that Han Solo is about to enter the frame for the first time, or you know that C-3PO is about to enter the frame for the first time, or when, you know,
C-3PO
R2-D2 comes
back
to life.
The same.
Like, so I, for me, like, as maybe hackneyed as it is, those were my favorite moments. But I also just, I just loved the moments between Finn and Rey. They just had such great chemistry, and I agree that Finn is, you know, he's kind of like, a Luke-ish kind of character, although you could say Rey is also a Luke-ish kind of character,
but
in a really
funny,
fresh way. And again, like the wit in this movie was really mainly captured in the first movie via Han Solo and Chewie. And, you know, with a little bit of the droids too. And I felt like in this movie, you had it from Poe, you had it from Finn, you had it from Hans. It was just like more spread out over more characters. And even Rey had some funny moments. Like, I love the whole thing where they're running and Finn like instinctively grabs her hand and she's like, stop taking my hand. I can run by myself. Like,
I just imagine Finn doing that in all, I mean, I guess his first battle was the one on Jakku, according to what he says. But I can just imagine him as a stormtrooper just constantly grabbing the hand of the stormtrooper.
Yeah, I adored Finn. I adored Poe. And I think I heard that he was supposed to actually die, but then, like, he was such a great character that they kept him on. Poe is, like, this character where I'm like, I can't tell if you're handsome. And then when he came back, I'm like, yeah, you are. You're very handsome.
Every time they said his name, all I could think of was Kelsey's former husband, Sanderson Poe.
Yeah, that's a great callback, Caroline. I like Poe, and I like that Poe is a little different, and in that he's not directly involved with the main storyline, but he comes in enough, and he's a bit important enough character, and so it offers like a different perspective and whatnot, and so it seems a little different. I will say what I liked about this movie a lot was how it was shot.
Yeah.
I think.
And what way to restrain yourself on the lens flares, JJ.
Yeah. What got me the most excited looking at it, obviously, was the stunning visuals, but when they're doing the scenes when they were in a TIE fighter or in an X-Wing or in a ship, and it was the same, like, you know, lower camera view of the person flying it. It was a lot like the original trilogy, which they lost in the Clone Wars trilogy. And I think it was great to see it back there. It wasn't all like CGI around it. It was clear that they had, you know, made a little set and they were practical effects.
They were shooting on location. And
really cool.
What I liked even more, like, I agree with all that. And what I liked even more than that was that they clearly were like using puppets and like had people in crazy makeup. And really the only major CGI character was the Lupita Nyong'o character, whose name I forget.
Maz.
This kind of frog lady thing.
Maz.
That was really the only major CGI character, and I thought the animation was
there was one more CGI character, Andrea, and it was my biggest personal thing that didn't
the
work
villain
for me.
Right yeah that yeah. I agree that was the main
Supreme
thing that was like, what
leader Snoke
and why is he huge?
Yeah, I guess for me all I could think of when I was watching that segment was, yeah, didn't you just do Guardians of the Galaxy, guys?
I thought the
didn't
same
that
thing.
Just happen? A big person in a throne in his own little room, as a hologram somewhere. I mean, I just, and that character raised a lot of questions for me. And obviously, there's a lot of questions. We'll get to those in a minute. But that was the thing that didn't really work for me personally. The other thing that I had a hard time with was just like the rationale behind like Luke's map and the scavenger hunt nature of like finding him was a little like, I was like,
this whole movie is centered around, oh, we need to find this piece of a map.
Yeah. And what is, who is Luke just into scavenger hunt? Like if he doesn't want to be found, so I mean, like once I just sort of let that part of me go, that was like, but why does this situation exist at all? It was fun, but that one piece, and maybe it'll be resolved in later movies. I don't know. But like, I will say that there was a part of me that was like, this feels very, like I have to, the premise is a little shaky for me.
Yeah, but I mean, you could argue it's that for every Star Wars movie, right? Like things like, you know, in the first Star Wars movie or the, you know, Episode 4, they blow up Princess Leia's home planet and then she just kind of never mentions it. You know, like there's certain things that's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like there's more here.
But that's not the premise of the movie.
You know, these kinds of films maybe come with a grain of salt, and the point is not so much those like kind of objectively ridiculous plot points and more just, as you mentioned earlier, the world building, the scenery, the characters, and how much it just like makes you smile. And I was grinning ear to ear for basically the entire film.
It was a nice throwback and a little shot almost, I think, at the Clone Wars era when they were just like, you know what? We're going to blow up Coruscant. Remember this planet that was very important in that one trilogy that people were in huge
trouble? Screw you, Coruscant.
We're going to destroy the whole thing. And I did find, when I'm at a movie, often I judge its interest to me as to, well, how long does it take me to look at my watch and see how long we've been here and how long we have left? And I didn't look at my watch until a good hour and a half into this movie, at least. So I was engaged the whole time, and it was exciting the whole time, and stuff was happening the whole time. I will say, I really want to like the Adam Driver character, Ben or Kylo Ren. Yeah. I couldn't get behind him, and I knew it was necessary. You knew he was killing Han as soon as they were together.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't done anything evil, really. He had just kind of like gotten mad and
hit
things with his
whole
life.
Thing is like he throws temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why is this allowed?
And then he's like evil. It's like he's got too much Darth in him. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything.
Also, the scene where he's like talking to the mask was a little bit, you know, it was a little bit over the top. But at the same time, I think Adam Driver is such a good actor, and I think he was just so well cast, and I really think that he pulled it off. And I also think he looks like he could be the son of Han and Leia. Like it was just, again, all across the board for me, really, really solid
casting.
The
other thing I'll say for him is his voice, like, because, you know, he has like an affect when he's got the mask on, but when he takes the mask off, and I don't know, maybe there was some additional like auto-tuning happening. But like his
little T-Pain.
His natural voice is sort of like deep and resonant in a way that's sort of similar to what his voice with the mask on was anyway. Yeah. So I thought that worked
well. I would like him to have, I really liked when he took the mask off, because I thought too much it was, you're trying to get a Vader-esque, and you're never gonna do better than Vader. Yeah. You're never gonna out Vader. And so
don't try.
So don't try. And I like they took the mask off. It humanized him and it gave him some complexity. Yeah. I did not like how Leia and Han kept referring to our son. Like, you know, call him by his, like, you wouldn't be like our entire time you were talking about your son who'd gone away. At some point, you'd call him Ben. You'd call him by his name, but all I did was say, our son.
That's true. Bring our son back. I agree about the mask thing. I also was wondering the whole time, I'm like, Adam Driver is like, you know, he's not like a famous actor, but he's reasonably well known. Is he really going to have his face covered the entire time? What's her name from Game of Thrones did have her face covered the entire time. I was a little surprised by it.
Brienne of Tarth. That was a character that, quite frankly, like, people are losing their crap over Phasma. That's her name, Phasma.
Phasma.
She's the silver stormtrooper, Greg. But, like, she was the kind of character that I was like, she sort of is a Boba Fett situation where, like, you don't do much.
Right.
But you've look got cool armor. Look cool, man. And, like, you're a novelty, so people are like, all right, I'm on board. What my final question for everyone, and I just want real quick thoughts, is who is Rey?
Oh, I think it's pretty clear that she's Luke's daughter.
I disagree.
Luke can't have a daughter.
I don't think it's Luke's daughter. I think it's Han and Leia's.
I mean, I actually thought that
it's more compelling.
Well, I thought that
if
too.
Kylo Ren, it's too. More compelling if Kylo Ren and Rey are siblings. It's a more compelling trilogy.
Yes, I thought
for
that
the rest
too,
of the trilogy is more compelling.
They, saw,
why would they never once mention the fact that they have a daughter?
Jedis can make you do a lot of crazy shit. Oops. I really avoided that word earlier.
No, that was definitely my initial thought, especially because, like, obviously twins run in that family. So then I was like, okay, well, clearly they're brother and sister. But then I kept waiting for them to talk about, like, you know, sort of have that there is another moment, like, from the originals. And there never was.
But
and
I mean, that
I,
wasn't
and then I had
until,
a moment
like,
where I was like, you know, initially I was like, okay, she's totally going to get with Poe. And then, obviously, that's not what's going to happen. And then I was like, well, maybe the guy I was with seeing it with was like, what if she and Poe are brother and sister? And I was like, because he's, you know, such a good fighter, just like his father, Luke. I mean, so there's, like, we had a lot of theories. But I do think it would be compelling if she was Kylo Ren's sister. But I would also be like, okay, if that's the case, why the entire time did they never mention their daughter?
Well, our but daughter. Here's the thing. I mean, first of all, the thing that's hard to remember is that so much wasn't revealed in the original trilogy until late. Like, there is another. That didn't happen until the third movie.
Yeah, but you weren't, I don't know. I feel like there wasn't as much opportunity to bring it up because Luke didn't even really know who he was.
She doesn't know who she is.
Right.
She doesn't know who she is.
Right, but Han and Leia know if they have a daughter or not. Like, you mentioned
Vader knew he had a son.
You kept mentioning, like, our son. You don't think at any point they would say, like, what about his, I don't know. That was my one thing. I was like, I initially thought that was the case, and I thought there's, I don't know. I think that would be bad writing if they never once,
I think they would have to come up with a device for why they're never mentioning her. But, like, I think the way that they've set up Han and her relationship through the whole movie is pretty setting up that there's a similarity there and a connection there. And I'm not saying that it has to be a father-daughter connection, but I am saying that it does seem like there's some connection. The other thing, and I think I just need to, those flashbacks that she has when she gets Luke's lightsaber, I think as much as anything I need to go and, like, freeze frame them and look at them. But I feel like, you know, she had flashbacks with Kylo Ren in them. She had flashbacks of, tied in with her being, abandoned. I mean, I just think there's probably something there as to why things are the way they are. I don't have a good answer, but I also don't know that it's great writing to be like, Luke has a daughter. Who's the mom?
Right. That's the other thing. It's like Luke, you know, to me seems like maybe more of a celibate kind of guy.
Well, Jedis can't love.
Well, but I also think though, like, yes, it's very compelling if they're brother and sister, particularly if they're twins. I think it's also compelling if they're cousins. I mean,
but it's less compelling.
It's less compelling, but like they're related. The Force is strong with both of them. It's stronger with her though. So that kind of, you know, I don't know. Again, I definitely, like what you were saying about, like, clearly they were developing a really lovely relationship between Han and her, which is why I thought, like, maybe this is his daughter. But I just feel like, really, you met this girl and you have this connection with her and you're not once going to be like, maybe it's my daughter. I didn't really buy that.
I hope that JJ is just taking us all for a spin and it's, like, Lando's daughter or something.
Or, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn's daughter.
Well, I think it also could be compelling if she's just has no relation to this family and she's just, the Force is strong with her. Just, you know. That could also work as a plot device. Yeah. But I don't know. To me, there aren't like a whole lot of surprises in the Star Wars. There's kind of the one huge surprise in Empire. And beyond that, you know, it's a pretty, you know, classic hero's tale.
That's a pretty big surprise that like changes that changes the entire course of the last movie.
Right, but I don't know that they're really going to be able to come out with as big of a surprise.
It's like the
as
biggest,
that.
That'd be like the biggest spoiler. If you would have told me that going into a movie, I'd be like...
I also don't know, like, that I'm in a place to judge how big a surprise that was, because by the time I saw Star Wars as a child, all the things existed. Yeah. Everyone knew. And, like, even though I don't remember someone ruining it for me, the line, Luke, I am your father, is a pretty, like,
ubiquitous,
you know, verse piece of culture. Yeah. So I just think, like, it's hard, you know... I think what's interesting to me about this argument, and I want to wrap it up, is that the idea that there is still the chance for audiences to be surprised about what's going to happen.
Yes.
So I think saying it's obviously Luke's daughter is actually not how I would categorize it.
Right.
I think part of what they've tried to do is make it not obviously anything or create a series of red herrings that make it difficult to discern.
Either way, I'm very excited to find out. And I honestly was very nervous about this movie just because, you know, we've all been burned before. And it looked great. And it's J.J. Abrams. So he does really well with franchises, as we've seen. Star Trek franchise is great. So I, you know, I should have been optimistic about it, but wasn't. And I was just, you know, I mentioned Jurassic World earlier. And these are two franchises where I went into them being like, I really, really want this to be good. Like, if this isn't good, I'm going to be really sad about it. And I was just, I left the theater beaming. I just absolutely loved it. I didn't look at my watch once. I don't like
Long
movies.
Did you hear that challenge?
Well,
I
didn't somebody who always does.
I don't wear a watch.
I don't like really long movies usually unless they're in Middle Earth. So for me to like be okay with it, like I frankly was like, that's it. I would have sat here another half hour, which is huge for me. So I really cannot overstate how much
Andrea
I enjoyed this
naps
movie.
Naps in every movie I've ever seen.
I will say, and I really enjoyed the movie. I think people are so excited that it was good, that it, you know, because as Andrew said, we've been burned in the past.
Yeah,
I think that people, to a certain extent, are overrating it just slightly.
I think the best like marketing technique. I mean, it was a long con, right? Putting out the prequels was the best marketing technique to make us love these.
Yes.
That's true.
So, all right.
So everybody loving the movie is more of like a relief.
Yeah, it's more like, oh, thank God. Yeah, right. We've been waiting so long.
You love that you like the movie.
Yeah, you love that you like it.
You know what? I think that's very, very well put, Greg. Very well
put. Nice, Greg.
And I'm not just trying to suck up to you.
Well, I'm going to move on to our second topic today, which is...
Speaking of naps.
So, I mean, but we are going to a classic Disney attraction. It's a Small World, which takes you, it's a flume ride, boat ride in all of the Disney parks across the world that takes you,
world of wonder.
that takes you through different continents, I'll say, with the last continent being heaven, maybe, I don't know. It's unclear. Everyone's dressed in white and all different, you know, ethnicities.
Wait, time out. My friend K-Mac just had a baby.
Oh, yay, K-Mac. That's so exciting. Like, Greg just got a picture. He was he performed her wedding.
Oh.
Greg did, not the baby. That would have been amazing. Happy birthday, baby. Jake.
Welcome to the world.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to this wonderful world. It's a small world.
All right. Sorry, continue.
So,
that'll be my contribution to this topic.
That will be your contribution. Let's get it over with. So this was created initially as a part of the 1964 World's Fair for the UNICEF tent, and it was called Children of the World originally. But so it opened in Disneyland in 1966 and then was one of the opening attractions for Disney World, and then I believe has been established in fantasy lands across the world because it is sort of this universal idea. I think for me what's exciting about It's a Small World is the combination of Mary Blair art, which she is the one who kind of designed the aesthetic of the ride, combined with Sherman Brothers music. It's a Small World may be a song that gets stuck in your head and is obnoxious, but I think it's actually a very singable, hummable song, yes. And that's pretty impressive that they managed to get that for a ride. And it's not from a movie. It's not from anything else. So, feelings about It's a Small World in general, real quick?
I have two feelings about it, one that's super obvious and one that's super cheesy. So the super obvious one is that, like, it is really lovely that there's a very small, like, tribute to Israel in it. I really, like, love it. So that's, like,
yeah, that's what we were all thinking, of course.
I couldn't obvious not say Andrew it because say it. I love it. And I love that it's, like, it's a Jewish wedding, like, under a chuppah. That's, like, such a perfect way to encapsulate Israel and Jewish culture. And the other thing that's super cheesy but very accurate is that actually as a kid I was like not super into It's a Small World. The main thing I liked about it was that usually it wasn't too long of a wait, and I would always try to like touch the stage from the boat and feel like I was just like breaking all the rules. But after I started working at Disney World, and I really now as a result of working at Disney World have friends literally all around the world. So when I go on that ride, it's like a kind of a lovely display of that. Like, it is a small world. Like, I went to Berlin this summer and visited my Japanese friend who I met at Disney. Like, I have friends literally everywhere. And the ride kind of like just takes me back to that. So that's a super cheesy thing to say, but it's really how I feel about the ride. So I've grown to love it as an adult. And the last thing I love about it is that I can see the bottom of the water. So it's not upsetting to me to be on the ride because people throw coins in it. So you know I have a thing about Disney water, so that Disney water is okay with me.
Gregory?
It is mind-boggling to me that people would wait more than 20 minutes.
You'd never have to wait more than 20 minutes.
We had to get a fast pass last time we went.
Oh, well, we were there New Year's Eve.
Okay, I'm sorry. but it's mind-boggling. The last time we did go, I actually was able, because I had gotten up early to go to the parks with Caroline, I was very exhausted. I was able to get a nice little cat nap in, a little power nap in during the ride. So there is that. I mean, the Small World song is great. It is recognizable. It's in The Lion King. which is a lovely reference.
No, anything but that.
But I do like, you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, as a kid, I always liked the different animals. So I was you know, a bigger fan of the Africa and Australia regions. As you get older, you know, you start to identify the characteristics of each country. You kind of do see each one. I think it'd be really cool if every now and then, if they, you know, refurbish, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
If they refurbish it and they maybe put some new dolls in to, like, auction off the old dolls. I think it'd be so cool to have one of those dolls, like...
Yeah, there's a spot right there
in Caroline's house for it. Like, you know...
It would only cost you $1 million.
Yeah, it would cost a lot. But I think it'd be super cool to have one of those. Or even if they just made little, like, replicas you could buy at the store.
They do have small replicas you can get, but not
full-size.
So small world?
Yeah, small world. It's a smaller world, after all. I think the other thing that's worth bringing up is, like, even though you would think that these rides would be really consistent, there is a significant difference between Small World at Disneyland and Small World in Disney World.
Yes.
And I, as much as I really do like Small World pretty much however I can get it, but the Small World in Disneyland is quite incredible.
Yeah.
The building is beautiful. One of the refurbishments that they did there, which was one that I was like, well, I don't know how I feel about that.
But and then it was ended amazing.
Up being delightful. Was the update where they basically made Mary Blair style Small World dolls of different Disney characters and put them in the appropriate country locations.
And you thought, I never thought I would see something this cute in my entire life.
Yeah, like, I never thought a small world doll of Cinderella in her little peasant garb would be, like, God. The most adorable thing I've
ever seen. I love Alice, too. She's so cute.
I mean, the ones that are less compelling to me are, like, Lilo and Stitch. Yeah. And to be honest, I never saw Small World in Disneyland before it was refurbished like this, but there is like a mermaid section in it and they added Ariel to that and it just sort of feels like the Ariel section now.
Right.
So that would be, but I will say that the attraction is really, really lovely. And I think a worthwhile attraction for anyone to go on. A good family fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, in terms of the song, I love that it's so simple because the whole thing is like you go in each country and the songs are in the different languages. And I, you know, the simpler, the better when it comes to that. And yeah, I also just the styling of it is so distinctive, especially in Disneyland, as you mentioned, the outside, especially during Christmas too. It's just, lit up and so it's really absolutely stunning. I've mentioned my issue with the Christmas refurb in Disneyland, I think on a previous Christmas episode where there was no mention of Hanukkah even once. Other than that, I very, very much love it.
Wait, Andrea, are you Jewish?
You know, I actually just converted this weekend. On Christmas.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov. Christmas.
I went to Star Wars, and then after that, I converted to the Jedi. I mean, I'm Jewish now.
Jewish Jedi.
But yeah, I again, as a kid, it was all right. It wasn't a must-do for me. Now I treasure it more and more as I get older and wiser.
I think I also just, I mean, like Greg's, you know, Greg made the comment about the catnap.
Yeah.
But I will say, I do treasure the opportunity to just sit down for a good 15 minutes uninterrupted without, like, freaking out about anything.
Yeah, and just, like, pretty see cute chill. Things and just enjoy it.
It's a nice chill ride. All right, well, we're going to move on to our final topic, which Greg has prepared for us.
Oh, man,
we're doing
I'm
our
so
third
excited.
Bracket. And this is a dog bracket. What a dog.
A
canine bracket, I should say.
Caroline, I will not have you looking at it ahead of time.
Okay.
So first things first, we have to... I have 32 slots allotted for dogs. I had to make some cuts. Now, I didn't take into account all dogs, obviously, because there were so many, and I couldn't rank them like I have with the princesses or princes, because there were 16, and each one of them was important enough that I could find common criteria to relate them, whereas you get some of these dogs don't speak and are in, like, a third of the movie, and some of them, the movie is based around them, so it's a little harder to compare them.
Also, there probably aren't as many BuzzFeeds about Disney dogs.
Yes.
Get on it, BuzzFeed.
Well, there is one of making the dogs from cutest. But so I made my list of 32 and I did a random bracket and we'll go from there. First things first though, we need to, there's two slots that are designated open right now. And one of those, stop looking, Caroline. Okay. Like, is this so difficult for you? All right. So aside from Lady and the Tramp, I will give you the chance, the two of you, to decide who is the final dog from Lady and the Tramp who gets the Lady and the Tramp other spot in the bracket? Whether that's...
Are you leaving it open or giving us choices?
Nope. It's Jock. It can be Peg. It can be
Trusty.
I'll let you two decide who it is.
Caroline,
I initially put Peg
impossible.
Because she sings the song.
My instinct is Peg, but Jock is so cute.
And Trusty is just...
My bunny bank in the backyard.
Trusty, like, is so, ugh. Yeah, I mean, I think part of me says, like, Jacques is a more, like, well-known character from that movie, but I do agree that the song...
I think it's gotta be Peg, yeah.
Okay, fine, Peg.
Yeah. Peg, done. And the other one we need is, of the children of the 101 Dalmatians...
Rolly!
Lucky, Rolly. Patch.
Rolly! Right. I'm hungry, Mother. I'm hungry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Agreed.
And first things first, so I looked up, I did a search of Disney dogs, and there was one set that I couldn't get in. A couple of people, groups are in as groups because you lump them together.
Yeah.
But my favorite that I couldn't include was the hunter dogs from Bambi. Can I read their description on the Disney Wikipedia?
Please.
Of course you can.
The hunter dogs are the tertiary, is that the word right there, Caroline?
Yeah.
Tertiary antagonists in Bambi and Bambi 2. They travel in packs and are fierce, bloodthirsty, and focused. Regardless of obstacles, it takes great odds to deter them from their prey. Many dogs will carry out the promise, their purpose to death. Their greatest strengths lie in their numbers and the foreboding, and in the foreboding they represent when they appear, man will follow.
Tertiary is the word, I'm sorry.
Tertiary, yeah.
Okay, I don't read things. But so, apparently they also have cameos in The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad and Escape to Witch Mountain, which I found delightful.
That's weird.
Which, also, I thought it was great looking at this, doing the research, how many dog references are, how many times you'll see dogs, like from Lady and the Tramp in other movies.
Oh, yes.
They're all over the place. It's very exciting.
Constant.
All right, so are we ready for our first...
Ready.
Matchup.
So
we have 32, so it's going to have to go a little quicker.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Then maybe we're used to.
And we all get one vote.
Yeah. So the first one is Stella from The Princess and the Frog versus Thunderbolt.
Oh, that's tough.
Huh.
From 101 Dalmatians, yeah. The television show.
I'm going to go Thunderbolt.
Greg?
I'm going Stella.
I'm going to go Thunderbolt.
Okay. So Thunderbolt takes the first round. That's fine. All right. Then we have Toby! Versus Old Yeller.
Oh, Toby.
Yeah, definitely Toby.
I'm going Old Yeller.
I've actually never seen Old Yeller, but I know what I'm...
Sorry, Old Yeller.
Okay. So Thunderbolt versus Toby in the next round. All right. Next we have Peg, who won the Lady and the Tramp other bracket, versus Bolt. From the Disney animated film Bolt.
That's tough.
Little baby Bolt's so cute with his little carrot.
I know. I love Bolt. I think I'm going to vote Bolt.
I'm going to go Peg.
I'm going to go Bolt. Actually, I've never seen Bolt. But I feel like he's got a whole movie.
It's a
lovely
movie. You should see it.
So lovely. I'm going to go Bolt. And then Bolt will take on the winner of Bruno.
Bruno from Cinderella.
Yep. Uh-huh. Against... The Artful Dodger.
Oh.
Huh.
Well, I think Billy Joel's going to take this one for me.
Yeah, Billy Joel for sure.
Dodger. All right. Next we go Chief from Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
Versus Slinky Dog.
Aw, Slinky.
Oh, Slinky.
All right, Slinky Dog. Next up we have Nana from Peter Pan.
Oh, man. Tough to beat.
Versus Doug.
Oh my gosh! What?
No, that's
random. Random pairing.
This is why the bracket is so difficult. But
they're gonna have to face off eventually if they're both that good.
Yeah,
right. No,
true.
I mean it has to be Doug.
I mean, because the whole point of a bracket is to get to one. It's not to get a definitive ranking. Oh my gosh! Yeah. I mean, I guess Doug, for the same reason that you said Bolt earlier, like he is.
But Nana pours medicine.
Nana is amazing, but Doug is in many ways kind of the heart of that movie. Well,
goodbye,
one
Nana.
Of the hearts.
But yeah. Nana is such a great dog character.
She is a great dog.
It's true.
Like when it comes to like, you know, Doug is more than a dog, so that's great. But Nana's a great dog.
Yeah,
like
that's
she's the dog
one.
You imagine. She doesn't talk and she's sweet.
She's so lovely.
Yes. But I think when you think of it like as a dog owner, Doug just really encapsulates you know,
that's
that. That's sort of like, I just met you
I
and I love you.
Porch.
I mean, Doug nails it. And so that for that reason, he has to beat Nana, despite, that's a really tough one.
All right. Doug moves on. Our next matchup is Percy from a recent film we talked about.
Love it.
Versus Air Bud.
Okay. I'm going to go Air Bud. Percy.
Air Bud is, I think, actually a really cute movie, but I'm going to go Percy.
All right. Sorry, Air Bud. I tried. I'm the only one who voted for the live-action dogs. I put two of them in here. I could have put
live
the Shaggy dog
are,
as well.
I'm it's hard
to
put compete
them
with
in.
The cartoon dogs.
Okay, so Percy beats Air Bud. Could do so many sports, though.
That's true.
Basketball, football,
soccer.
I just soccer.
Love that as a mashup. It's really, like, how opposite can you
The one is the pampered dog in Colonial.
One is the most, like, able animal ever. The other one is just a little jerk.
All right. Next we have... A tag team, so it's a 2-on-1 handicap match. Napoleon and Lafayette from the Aristocats against Copper. Copper is adorable. I haven't seen Aristocats in a while. They're delightful characters, but Copper is the clear winner there.
Yeah.
All right. Now we get into our next matchup, which is just, stop looking, Caroline.
I'm not looking.
Which is where I went. One of these is, I could have gone wolves a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple wolf characters. I decided to only go wolf once.
Okay.
Okay.
And I did it for this. The big bad wolf versus Zero from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't seen The Nightmare Before Christmas. I know. Blasphemous. So by default, I will have to go with the big bad wolf.
Greg?
I'm thinking I like Zero as a character. I think Nightmare Before Christmas is a bit overrated. But,
yeah, I would agree.
But Big Bad Wolf brings an element to the park. Big Bad Wolf character, you see him walking around. You remember the Disneyland
with
Fun
his,
video?
With his big tongue.
With his big tongue hanging out.
Yeah.
I have to go Big Bad Wolf.
I'll go Big Bad Wolf.
All right. BB Dubs gets the win. And he's our next, they'll go up against the winner of the Dalmatian puppy qualifier, which is Rolly, versus Goofy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Oh
my gosh. That's another one that's just like so.
Yeah. Well, you're going, you know, extreme cuteness versus like, you know, just lovable and funny.
I think I'm going to go Goofy.
Yeah, I think Goofy has got to win this. That'd be quite an upset if Rolly beat Goofy.
it would be, because Rolly, while the most lovable of all the pups, is probably the fourth most important dog in that movie, maybe.
Right.
Like, you know, so, and it's Goofy is
pretty important.
He has to get to a certain point just based on his merit and standing with the other main.
What he has given to the Disney franchise.
All right. Next we have, where are we? Okay. Georgette.
Oh. Bette Midler.
Versus Max from The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Oh. No, Max, for sure.
I'm going Georgette.
Yeah, the chicks aren't doing well.
I mean, I love it. Here's what I say. I love it when Max blows his fur out of his eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love that? And
I love just the relationship between he has with Aaron.
I love that Max knows what's going on when everyone else doesn't.
Yeah.
But Bette Midler is Georgette. I'm going to go Georgette.
All right, Georgette takes it.
Perfect isn't easy.
But it's me.
All right. Next we have Otto, who's from Robin Hood.
Yeah.
The duck. So I was going to put Sheriff of Nottingham because he's a wolf, but I didn't want, I said I'm going to go with the dog character if I can. So Sheriff of Nottingham, Otto with the cast versus Little Brother. From Mulan.
Oh, Little Brother.
God, you know, I don't even remember that character from Mulan.
All I remember is Mulan's dad praying, and then Little Brother runs in with the bag of food and all the chickens follow.
You know, I got to do a rewatch of Mulan, because I think I've seen it maybe once, and I liked it, but that was it. So, again, by default, I'm going to go Otto, because that foot injury is pretty cute.
He tries to hide coins in it, which is not appropriate. I'm going to go Little Brother for the reasons I previously stated. Little Brother. I like that his name is Little Brother
as
well.
His name is Little Brother.
Great name for a dog.
It is a good name for a dog.
Next we have Max Goof.
Oh.
Yeah.
Against the Footstool from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's another tough one. Oh my gosh.
I love that how different these are. Like it's you were
really,
right.
It's very hard. It would be very hard to compare them because like Footstool.
Yeah, I love that you included Footstool, by the way. Wow, solid.
What do you vote,
Greg? Hard.
Now, it's tough because I like Max.
Yeah.
But he's
kind of a jerk for the movie.
He's kind of a jerk,
but he's such a perfect like way to capture teen angst. Like it's done so well through him.
And he does have good songs.
And you know he proves himself like Baloo.
I'm going to go Footstool, partially because of my love of Beauty and the Beast. Footstool is just a great character.
Yeah, well, I also feel like I can earn major points with you, Greg, if I pick the Footstool. Well, the other thing about
Footstool wins this whole thing, Andrew. You're back in my good graces.
I do love the Footstool. And if I remember correctly, it's the Footstool in the live, the Broadway production of it. He has he dances, but like with his arms up because he can't move his arms. So it's He's just like a really carpet. Funny visual.
It's a carpet. In...
So that adds to it for me. I'm also going to go footstool.
Whoa. All right. Well, I'm going Max Goof, but.
Wow. That's crazy.
It is crazy, but the footstool is so cute.
Side note, because of the cuts, I couldn't put Roxanne in this bracket.
Oh, man.
But she would have won because.
She's a fox.
Yeah.
She's so wet.
She's a fox.
All right. Next, we have Lady of Lady and the Tramp fame versus Pongo of 101 Dalmatians fame.
Oh my gosh!
It makes you think that God, Air Bud or Percy's moving on, but one of these two won't make it.
No,
it's not fair.
I have to go Pongo, but like Lady in that little box.
I'm going Lady.
I gotta go Lady just because Lady in the Hat Box is my favorite scene from any movie ever.
And while I like Pongo, I mean, it's 101 Dalmatians. It's hard for me to have the attachment to one of those characters.
I see. Yeah, well, that and it's like those are two excellent dog movies, but I think Lady and the Tramp is the better dog movie.
That's true.
But you know where Pongo is really strong, especially is that opening scene.
I mean, that's what I'm giving it. Is when he's going through all the ladies. Yes.
Yeah, he's looking for a mate for his pet, and also The Roger and Anita meet cute is basically how I'm hoping to meet my husband. So he's a really strong contender, but I gotta go with Lady. She's gonna be tough to beat for me.
Well, next we have two more first round matchups left. Pluto versus Perdita.
Ooh, I mean, I think I have to go Pluto.
Pluto, yeah.
I love Perdita, but.
No Dalmatians making it out of the first round.
Yeah, well, you know.
The way it works sometimes.
That's the way it works.
And the last matchup is...
Gotta be Tramp.
Tramp versus Shenzi, Banzai, and Ed.
That's tough. I mean, I'm gonna go Tramp, obviously.
Gotta be Tramp. Tramp is another one that's gonna be just generally hard to beat for me.
All right, so we have our... We're down to the Sweet 16.
Oh.
So our first matchup is... Thunderbolt versus... It's amazing who made... Oh, Thunderbolt.
I know, this is crazy.
Thunderbolt, Huffer, 101 Dalmatians. He made it through. Thunderbolt versus Toby.
Toby,
all right. Toby. I vote Toby as well. Toby's delightful.
Toby.
Bolt versus the Artful Dodger.
Dodger.
I go Bolt.
You guys suck.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, like, listen, you haven't seen Bolt, so it's fair if you pick Dodger.
Yeah,
and I'm
going to go Dodger.
Upset about that. Yeah, it's a great character, Dodger's but I love Bolt.
All right. Oh, hold on. There we go. All right. Next, we have Slinky Dog versus Doug.
Oh, Doug, for sure.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go... I really like Doug. I love Doug.
I love Doug. I'm going to go Doug.
All right, I'm going to go Slinky Dog because I think he deserves some love.
That was hard for me, though.
Yeah. That was... Well, it wasn't that hard.
I think as much as anything, I just prefer up to Toy Story, so that's...
Right. Yes. Agreed.
All right. Next, we have Percy.
Jeez Louise.
Just saying his name makes me laugh.
Versus Copper.
Percy.
Percy.
You going Percy as well?
Yeah.
Copper not making it through?
I mean, I just don't like that movie. Copper's very cute, but Pocahontas is a much more entertaining film for me.
Interesting. All right. Next, we have... This is a good old school matchup.
All right.
The Big Bad Wolf, BB Dubs, versus Goofy.
Ooh.
Goofy.
The Goof.
I'm going to go Big Bad Wolf.
I
appreciate his Disneyland character or Disney World character so much.
Yes, that's true. With his giant tongue.
All right, next is Georgette versus Little Brother.
What? What is this matchup?
It's the way the bracket works.
I don't really care that much about this matchup, so I'm going to go Georgette.
I'm going to go Little Brother. Little Brother on the Elite Eight. It's going to be a tough matchup from there, but...
Yeah.
Little Brother and not Pongo.
All right. Next, we have Footstool versus Lady.
Oh.
Lady.
Yeah, I think lady.
Yeah, lady. Now, here's a good one. Pluto versus Tramp.
Tramp.
Interesting.
I mean, it's so hard. I'm not saying it's... I mean, Pluto...
You didn't make it sound very hard.
Well...
For me, it's not it's hard. Tramp is also, like, my fourth favorite Disney character.
Yeah, Tramp's just one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. He's so hot.
Well...
He's, like, the hottest Disney animal. It's, like, him and Robin Hood are just crazy hot.
Okay.
And the mouse from Rescuers Down Under.
Jack?
Yeah.
Jake,
yeah.
Jake. McLeach?
Joanna?
All right. Next, we are on to the Elite Eight. We only have eight dogs left.
Let's bang this out.
I love it.
And if you would have said pick your top eight...
would have said Air Bud.
It would not have included it would not have included all these ones.
I would have included several of them, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Toby versus the Artful Dodger.
Toby.
I'm going to go Dodger. Not that it matters. And then we have Doug versus fan favorite Percy.
Doug. Fan favorite Percy.
I love Percy after watching that
I
movie.
Do love Percy, but it's, you know, Doug is...
Okay.
This is getting hard, though, because I'm foreseeing who Doug is going to probably have to go up against. It's going to be really hard for me.
And now we get to the ultimate Cinderella story. Can the underdog little brother pull off the monumental upset of Goofy?
No.
Goofy. I vote little brother.
Obviously Goofy.
You guys are so predictable. And now it's a battle of the lovers.
We're not predictable. The footstool made it past the first round.
The footstool was a guarantee. The footstool was a lock. Lady
versus the Tramp?
Versus Tramp.
Oh, man. What?
This is like Hatbox versus Hotness.
A dog.
Both are really compelling. Both are
in heat.
That's right. Both are so wet.
You guys are the worst.
I'm sorry, Caroline.
We want people to listen to this. We got to keep it edgy.
It is with a heavy heart. That I pick the Tramp.
I'm going Lady.
I think I'm also going Lady.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. I can allow that.
All right.
Tramp is just such a terrible boyfriend. Wow. He's terrible.
Sure. All right. We're down to our final four. They've made their way to Indianapolis.
Wow, I can't believe Lady beat the Tramp. That's big. That's huge.
All right.
That's a feminist win.
We have from London, England, Toby.
Toby made it so far. Good for him.
Against from Paradise Falls, Doug.
Doug.
Doug versus... And then from
Little Brother. No, I'm just kidding.
From China. Little Brother. from Mickey's Toontown Fair. Goofy.
Wow, versus Lady.
Against from New England Town. New England. No, yeah, New England Town. Lady.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to go Lady.
I'm going to go Goofy.
Oh, no, you guys.
Yeah. You got to be quicker, Caroline. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the position where you are the deciding vote. Who do you love more, me or Andrea?
I'm going to go Lady.
Wow. All right. So we have... And I'm okay with that because while I love Goofy and I respect his importance as a character and what he's done to Disney World and the Disney franchise as a whole should get him to the final four.
Yeah,
he's not a. I don't think of him as a dog.
Yeah,
right. It's not so connected to him being a dog. I remember somebody coming into guest relations with a pressing question for me. They were like, "Goofy, what is he?" And I was like, "Well, he's a dog." They're like, "But Pluto's a dog." And I'm like, "Right. It's just like it was
dogs
a point
owning
of confusion.
Other dogs."
Yeah.
So I would argue that Lady is famous for being a dog. Goofy is famous for being Goofy. Yeah.
All right, and now it comes down to this.
Oh, this is torturous.
We have the new school. The Pixar Prince Doug from the film Up.
The Pixar Prince.
Versus the original Disney Dame. Thank you, Caroline. Lady from Lady and the Tramp.
Lady!
Oh, damn it, Caroline.
This kills me because these are like two of my all-time favorite, not just Disney movies, but movies. Like, Up is one of my favorite movies ever. Lady and the Tramp is like childhood nostalgia. Ugh. I don't know. I think I gotta go Lady.
Doesn't matter what I say, does it?
But we
what do you
know.
Say, though? I'm curious. All right.
So here's what I say. I'd say Doug is probably my favorite character out of any of these dogs. He's definitely up there.
Yeah.
Because I laughed more during his scenes, and I love him as a character in Up. However, this being the Disney dog bracket, and I think we need something that is going to represent... The winner is going to be, it's like, this is a Disney dog in a nutshell. And you can't think of Disney dogs and not think of Lady and the Tramp.
I mean, Lady was not animated. That hatbox scene was animated because Walt gave Lillian a dog in a hatbox.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, literally what you just described was my exact rationale.
As a result, I'll be voting for Little Brother.
Footstool wins.
Doug, as I mentioned,
the winner are
really
the hunter dogs.
The experience. Of being a dog owner and my relationship to my dog is just like, after I saw that movie, I was like, yes, they so nailed it. Classic dog is Lady. Yeah. She's the first, the spaghetti, the hat box. I mean, this is Disney at its finest. So I think in the name of that, it has to go to Lady.
Can we do a quick recap? I'm gonna say some people who didn't even make it out of the first round.
Yeah, Pongo, that's
Bruno,
wild. I thought he'd make it to the final four.
Nana.
Yeah.
Man. Air Bud. Max Goof.
Yeah.
Great songs. Couldn't save him.
I mean,
High Dad Soup couldn't save him.
Yeah.
Herdy,
perfect cast.
Herdy and Pongo. Like, no Dalmatian made it out.
That's crazy.
No Dalmatian.
But Lady and the Tramp is the
quintessential. Yeah.
That is the movie.
Absolutely.
That's
I'm satisfied with that as a win. Yeah.
Like, that scene of them kissing with spaghetti is like
that's
famous.
How all dogs act.
Well, and it's like, in addition to Disney, it's just like, in general, like just a classic film clip, you know?
I think the real winner is Little Brother here for getting a lot more play on this podcast than he ever would have.
Yeah, congratulations to Little Brother.
Shout out to Little Brother.
Well,
shout out to Little Brother. Shout out to Footstool.
If you have thoughts about dogs that weren't on the list or dogs that didn't make
it. Oh, yeah, were there any you guys think of that I didn't mention that you think should have been on here?
I thought that was a pretty solid. I mean, there were definitely dogs on there that weren't on there that I'm like, well, they're good characters, but I think those were good choices.
Yeah, I think you nailed this one, Greg.
Especially Footstool.
Especially Footstool.
There were a couple I was so excited to get in there.
The other one would have been
Roxanne. I'm sure you know which ones those were.
I know which ones. but if you have thoughts about dogs that we left off or dogs that need more airtime on the old podcast. You can let us know either on our Facebook page, Three Happy Chappies, or on Twitter, we're at Three Happy Chappies. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can. I am at Caroline Funtune with an F.
If you follow me on Twitter, you'll see a lot of pictures of my dog because it's linked to my Instagram. So you can find my Twitter or Instagram at BigLeagueJew326.
Stop
making fun of me.
If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I would highly suggest reconsidering. But I am at @the_hunt_club. Bachelor is starting up soon, so
primo time for Greg's Twitter.
And I am I'm a private. You have to like request to follow me, so I only allow those who I've accepted into my world to benefit from those tweets.
He sings part of my world. He changes the lyrics. A part of your world.
Okay.
I'm really tired. All right. Have a magical day.
What a forced
exit. Magical day.
What a dog. What a dog. He's a tramp. but they love him. Breaks a new heart every day. He's a tramp.